difference for this afternoon service, for our reading, a desire to read from the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Druga knjiga Solumljanima, druga glava. Druga poslanica apostola Pavla Solumljanima, druga glava. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, the portion of Scripture that we have read this afternoon speaks of the coming of the lawless one. He speaks, Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonians here, and he's trying to gather them together and to quiet their hearts. So the church in Thessalonica is quite disturbed. And the disturbance is that there's a great persecution that was going on in that time. People of God were being persecuted. They were being killed. Things were happening that were very unsettling, and the church was disturbed over this. And Paul is writing to them, and they thought that they are actually living in the times of the great tribulation, which was prophesied. And Apostle Paul is telling them, don't be shaken in your mind. He says, do not be shaken in mind or be troubled. Now think about what he is saying here. He's telling the church, don't be shaken in your mind. Don't be troubled. What? There's persecution going on. And who felt it more than Apostle Paul himself? Right? We know how many times he was beaten with rods and chains and in chains and in prison and hungry and shipwrecked and all the things that he says. And he's telling them, don't be shaken in mind and don't be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. So how could a person become troubled other than a releasing or a turning from or not holding fast to truth? Because Apostle Paul is establishing here that truth and grasping and holding on to truth is the only thing that will keep us settled. How were the disciples able to sing hymns knowing that tomorrow they're going to give their life? Their hearts were settled. They weren't in disarray. And you know, we had in the last several years here with the pandemic and the various things that were there's so many lies that were being told and so many things that were going on. And there was quite an unrest that was going on and what is happening and so on. And Apostle Paul would have told us then, relax. Why are you disturbed? There's only one thing that can cause you to disturb. You're not holding on to the truths of God. Because when you hold on to Him, nothing can disturb you. So there's also a lesson here for us in anxiety and being anxious about it. He says, we know the word tells us, be anxious about nothing. Why? Because God is in control. And he's telling them here, you know that you're not living in the day of tribulation right now. You're living in the day of persecution, not the tribulation that is going to come. And he said, how do you know this? Because, this is really a clear of scriptures we can find anywhere where he is speaking to the pre-tribulationists that there is no rapture where the church is taken and that they do not see the end times and what will take place here, because you didn't see that and you will. So he says here, let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. So first there needs to be a falling away. Who falls away? Who falls away? This is where I think we need to sit bolt upright and think about. There will be a falling away. And Apostle Paul is saying that day, let no man deceive you. So it's deceit. It's deceit that causes unrest. It's deceit that causes anxiety. Because if we know that God is in heaven above, in control, on his throne, why are we anxious? Why are we afraid? Afraid of who? Afraid of what? Because here we clearly see who is defeated and who will defeat him. So what are you and I going to be anxious about? What are we afraid of? Afraid of my life? The only thing that can take place is that I would be and you would be ushered into eternity, where where our soul desires to be with our Lord. And that can happen at any moment, at any time, to any of us. So Apostle Paul is asking, why the fear? Why are you deceived? Why are you letting lies disturb you? Don't let a lie disturb you. Rely on the truth. And he says here, let no man deceive you, for you know, except that they're coming a falling away, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is going to be revealed? The Antichrist. He's not revealed here yet. John, in his epistle, says there are many Antichrists working even in this day. Those are all evil angels that are busy at work. They're busy at work, deceiving, planting thoughts of God will not take care of me and many things that he will cause us just to doubt and then get unsettled. And then now what happens when we become deceived, when our hearts become anxious and we're not resting upon the truths of the Word of God, what happens when we are deceived? We start grasping for, okay, how do I get out of this mess? How do I do? What should I do? Who do I consult with? With flesh. I consult with flesh and blood. And then I become even more anxious, as I ought to, because I cannot consult with flesh and blood and get an answer that is eternal. And so there is a falling away of the people of God. Who? Me? You? 50 of us? 100 of us here? How many? Any? What is it that identifies me as his elect? What is it that identifies me as, we heard this morning, to hear, well done, or to hear, this is my son, or this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased? What is that? What is that that you and I have done that God looks on and says, I am pleased? Are you in pursuit? Am I in pursuit of the world system? Am I pursuing those things, seeking me, me, me? Well, if it's about me, it's not about him, and I will be anxious about everything. And I will consult with flesh and blood. How do I get out of this? What do I do? Get the think tanks going and try to figure out how and what to do. And so a warning is coming. There will be a falling away of those who call themselves Christians. He's not talking about a falling away from Buddhism. He's talking about a falling away of the people who call themselves Christian. Those who are Christians by name only. Okay? So what is it then that I need to hold on to that I could identify as a child of God? A Christian not by name only. And he tells us later, we'll get to those verses, but he says here, he says, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? I explained all this to you before. You know this. You received the truth. And now you're allowing deceit to sway you. Remember what it took to deceive Eve. Not a lot. Not a lot. What does it take to deceive you and me? Not a lot. Not a lot. It's not, Jesus is not the Son of God. It's not, Jesus did not die for you. No. It's, does God really care for you? Is God going to protect you? What's going to happen in this time of persecution that hasn't been experienced yet? We see here that evil will be unleashed. It's not going to be held back. It's held back right now. What's going to happen in those days? Are you worried? Am I worried? What you and I only need to be worried about is, am I his? Because being his, he protects us. We will not be deceived. We will not go that way. And so he says here, he says, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So iniquity is already at work. Evil is all around us. He says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. This wicked one that will be revealed is the Antichrist. And it says, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Do not rely upon signs and wonders today. They do not point to truth. Truth is found in the scripture from Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's His word that needs to be looked at to be our guide, not I need a sign. Because it says here that the wicked one will perform many signs, wonders. You're going to look for a sign? He's going to give you a sign. You want power? It's the power of Satan, the power of darkness. It's going to be there. It's already at work. Don't look for signs and wonders, my dear brothers and sisters and friends. Look to Jesus. I really enjoyed how the sermon ended this morning. It ended with Jesus Christ. It's Him. He has to be your and my all. He is the one. He is my sign. He is my wonder. He is my power. And He's not lying. He's truth. And He says here, whom the Lord will consume. He will consume. This Antichrist, and who is this Antichrist? We can gather from reading this that it's coming from the falling away. He says He will present Himself in the temple as God. Isn't that what He wanted Eve to feel? You are gods. And He will present Himself in the temple. What does that mean? In the temple that will be rebuilt? Is it in the temple, in the church? But He will be in the place where He will show Himself as God. And it says here, and that the Lord will consume him with the spirit of His mouth. Our Lord is not a violent, militant Messiah. That's what the Jews wanted. That's what they looked for. That's who they wanted to free them from Rome. That's not who our Lord is. Our Lord is one of love and compassion and mercy and tenderness. That's who our Lord is. And He never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to come with swords and killing people left and right. No, it doesn't. Never does the word say that. It says He will destroy him. He will consume him with the sword, it says, of His mouth. The spirit of His mouth. What is that? That's His word. He spoke and the worlds were created. The planets and everything we see came into existence through His word, through His mouth. And He needs now fighting and swords and horses. He doesn't need anything. His word, truth will consume the lie. It says here that the brightness of His coming, light always has power over darkness. We know that light dispels darkness. Jesus is truth. He is light. When He comes in truth and light, the wicked one will be consumed. Where will you and I be found? Are we going to be deceived here? And He's warning us. And His prayer He gives here. He says, and with that He is going to come with power, signs, and lying wonders. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish. Why? Why will anyone perish? My dear friend, why are you going to go to hell? You right now are destined for hell, eternal fire, and you're not afraid. My brothers and sisters, if we don't adhere to this truth, we're going to hell. And he says, he says, because they received not the love of the truth. They didn't receive the love of the truth. They knew the truth. They heard the truth. They believed the truth. I know all of you, my dear friends, believe in Jesus. We all do. We know the truth, but we didn't receive the love of the truth. To love him, it has to be a heart thing. The heart is what produces the faith, the love, the peace, the joy. It comes from your heart. It doesn't come from your mind. The brother just led us in prayer. He said, may we receive this truth into our hearts. Not so that we may know it, because what is being said here is something that we all already know. We know the truths. Do we love those truths? He says, they will perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's the only way of salvation. Receiving loving truth. Holding on to that lifeline. It's truth. It's his word. He says, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, is God going to lie to you and me? Of course not. He can't. It says that God will send those who did not receive him, those who do not love the truth. He will send you a delusion. Who is this delusion? It's the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist at work today in the world. It's the false prophets. Who is this? This is the church. This is professing Christianity. He will sit as God in the temple. And you're going to receive that, which is a lie, because you didn't believe that which was truth. That they shall be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What gives you and me pleasure today, brothers and sisters, dear friends, all of us? What gives us pleasure? Is it righteous? Is it righteousness before God, the things that please me, that cause my heart to sing, that cause my heart to bow down before my Lord and thank him for the beauty of his presence in my life? Are those things righteousness altogether? Is it? Because he says, if you have pleasure in unrighteousness, you have pleasure in unrighteousness, you are damned. We are damned if we have pleasure in those things. We don't need to sit here and enumerate, okay, this and this and this and this and this is going to lead you to hell. The truth and the believing of the truth and the love of the truth. So, my dear friends and my dear brothers and sisters, the mind, we can be willing, we can study, we can read, we can learn. But unless the mind becomes a servant of our heart, it is all for naught. Those things need to come from the mind and drop into the heart to know. And then we will have the true, blessed, spiritual experience of being, this is my son. I am well pleased in him. Well done, my faithful servant. Well done. What well done? You loved, you received me. And he goes on, he gives thankfulness here. And these are the things, this verse 13 and 14 are of such beauty that if we're able to be able to memorize them, they're so full of everything that you and I need. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. What is it that you are to hold on to? God's love. God's love. This is that cord that we are to hold on to. He says, hold on to the beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. You are elect. What does that mean to be elect? No, that doesn't mean, my dear friend, that you can say, well, God didn't choose me, because if he would have chosen me, I would have already been baptized, so he must not want me. No, God wants you. God says, everyone who is thirsty, come and drink. The choice is you. Are you thirsty? You don't want to drink. Why? Because you know the truth, you believe the truth, but you don't love it. You don't want to take no part of that. So he elected you in that he called you. He's speaking to you. You're thirsty, come. You're not thirsty, you don't want me. So we are the elect when we respond to his love. Beloved of the Lord, we heard the gospel and we responded to the gospel. It says, who had from the beginning chosen you to salvation. So you have the love of God, we have the election, and we have salvation. Salvation, he says, but a salvation that is not complete yet. It is not complete because we are living in the time of sanctification. We are being made holy. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. So are you holy, my brother? Am I holy? Are you holy, my sister? Are we holy? What do we identify in our life as being holy? What? My thoughts? My drinking? My lusts? My love of money? What? What can I say that is in my life that is unrighteous, that will keep me from that? But yet, he says, he has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Back to the truth. You cannot live a sanctified life if you don't hold on to, believe, and love the truth. You cannot ever become holy as God is holy. We cannot. It is that reliance upon him. Him who does the sanctification through his Spirit in your and my life this very moment. He is working in us daily to produce a life that is holy and pleasing unto God. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. What is it? What is it that he called you? He says he called you by the gospel. My dear friend, he called you by the gospel. And you say you're not called? You say not yet? Why? Because you're not thirsty. Peter says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Are you the elect of God? Does that mean that as the elect of God, I can do whatever I want to do, I will never fail, because I am his elect? He cannot fall. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, what things? Faith, virtue, knowledge. Again, we're speaking here of the heart and the mind coming together. The mind must become a servant of the heart. Must. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, love. He says, if these things are in you and abound, you'll never fall. Never. This is the work of the Spirit in the life of the Apostle Paul, in the life of the early church, in the life of you and me. Nothing has changed. God is not less powerful. God is not less interested. And so he is calling us here. He says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory. Obtaining glory. That is our glorification. That is the end. That is what we receive when we are gathered together, when Jesus Christ will come. Are we going to receive a lie and love a lie rather than the truth? We see it happening everywhere already. So many lies are being spoken in the media that anything that you hear anymore, you don't even know what's true and what isn't. The automatic thing to do is not believe it because it's a lie. And yet, through repeatedly exposing us to these lies and lies and lies, they break you down and you start to believe. But the Antichrist is coming in a different way. He's going to work wonders and signs. Put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't need a sign. You only need him. His spirit who sanctifies and makes in us the new man. As we look forward to the day when Jesus returns. It isn't a day that will catch us as a thief in the night. Because we're ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Or do you have to scamper to clear up your stuff? Or to clear things up? And so he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And this isn't man's traditions. This isn't the traditions of a church, traditions of a denomination, traditions of a household. This is, he says, stand fast and hold. Hold with all your might. Hold means don't let go. Hold the tradition. What is that? The teachings. The traditions are the teachings. And look at the Greek word for that. It's the teachings of Jesus Christ. Hold on to those things. Don't let them go. Dear ones, think about if we're holding on to something and we're hanging over a precipice and we're going to fall. You're going to hold on with all your holding that you can possibly do. Well, we are holding on to Jesus. We have to hold on to him that way. Because if we let go of him, we are going to fall into a precipice, into a hell that will burn forever and ever. We have to hold on to him. We don't care if we're holding on and dangling and my money falls out of my pocket or my phone falls. We don't care. Let it all go. I'm holding on for dear life. That's how we have to hold on. That's how much we have to love the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be our everything, or he is nothing. And he says here, hold on to those things, the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He taught them in the epistle. He was there with them. He taught them directly. He gave them the truths of God. And he said, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Doesn't this just quiet our anxious hearts? When we look back at him, the one who will come, and from his mouth will truths will be spoken, evil will be destroyed. Isn't that who we look for? He said, may that comfort your hearts and establish you. It's not just the comfort. I'm saved. No. He says, let that establish in you every good word and work. Everything good. Your words, your actions, everything must be good. Because God is good. God is love. Our heart has to be a heart of love for those things which he reveals to us through his word. And my dear friends, you have to let your heart, you have to let these things sink into your heart. You have to love that. Those things that you know, that you've come to know, you have to love that. That mind of yours and mine must become servants of our hearts, or it will avail us nothing. We are damned if the heart doesn't respond in faith, in love, in peace, and in joy in the Holy Ghost. May God who gives us this consolation, who gives us this comfort, who comforts our hearts. When we become anxious, dear ones, let's just look back. Let's just quickly stop and think, what have I done? Where have I gone wrong? What have I done? I've let go of something. I've let go of Jesus. Something I've let go of because he is still here. He is still with me. Go to him for everything. May God bless his word and his day upon our hearts. Amen.